They all get to see her saggy titties. The legend is over.
Strong. But do you think it's her saggy titties that's keeping the peace? It's fear and blood.
You are listening to the Podcast of Ice and Fire, episode 64 for the week of September 12th, 2011.
I want to just, you know, go over some of the email we've been getting and stuff and comments, and then we can pull in people. So sort of just like a fully caller-based show. So I will look at some email and stuff, and then we'll see if you have anything to say.
Okay.
All right. Well, one thing that we did recently was we were interviewed by someone from Tower of the Hand. You should remember. Was it M's Sunyata?
Okay.
So they posted our interview on Tower of the Hand, and... our pictures and our feedback. I'll give you the link. I don't know if you've seen it.
I saw it when it was first posted.
Oh, yeah. So the reception we got there was pretty good.
That's good. It's nice to know we have some fans.
Yeah, our fans show up now. Like whenever we are, especially if we're being attacked by other people, our fans come to the rescue.
It seems to be a common occurrence.
They get a lot of practice at it. They're good at dealing with online discussions. So I'm just looking at the comments here, 25 comments. Split says, this is the only podcast I listen to, and I guess that explains a lot. Soat Goes 14, loves the podcast. Good Loving, 50 podcasts in and still hilarious. Duck Chick is somebody I recognize. I think she posts on our forum, and she's posted there.
It's horrible. I barely go on the forums, so I don't know any of these people.
Well, you do have some posts now. I remember when we started, you didn't, but now you've got your title, Mrs. Sandra Cuglane. but I'm sure there's other people who wish they had that title.
Jen Rose can't have it. I don't care.
Yeah, she can be Sandra's mistress, maybe.
Nope.
You'll go Caitlin on her ass, maybe. What else we got here? Timmy's been listening for 2 years, and he's enjoying it. Ike Stone says, must listen. So it was really shocking seeing it. Shocking in a good way that we had a lot of fans on there. I suspect that if this thing had been posted at Winter is Coming, we would have had different responses. Scorpio Lady says, Mimi is so hot. Danny Books is there from the forum. It's good. And Brendan, which he also joined the forum, so... That was Tower of the Hand, and it was cool that we got interviewed, and it's still up there. Then the latest episode. Yeah, what were your? I saw your feelings on the latest episode. You said it was delightfully geeky or something.
Yes. Yeah. You guys got into such, you know, big nerd discussions. I'm just like, wow, I'm actually interested.
I figured we would just record as much as people wanted and leave most of it there, and people, you could always skip or whatever.
Yeah, so. No, I was actually very, like, into it, like, just, you know, the stuff that you were talking about, for the most part, it was, I found it interesting anyways. Yeah. It's more than just us joking around.
Whenever you have LEO, especially, but, or even, like, any of those people, like, they bring something to the show. All our episodes with them have been good, LEO or with Len Doric from Tower of the Hand, or Fabio.
And then there's Dan.
Yeah, Dan as well. He's always ready to, you know, mix it up over whatever theory.
I just found that funny at the beginning. Okay, so we got the guy from Westeros, from Tower of the Hand, from Winter's Coming, and Dan.
Well, he did so well on the first guy's episode. And I would have had Kyle. It was just because he was still reading it all the time. Like, it was literally the one time I could have recorded, and I got it done, and that's why it took forever to edit, because I was so busy. So.
Oh, I was on YouTube, and I found him. He posted a video response thing.
Oh, Kyle, yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's on our page anywhere because I just kind of found it.
Okay, I'll put that up with when I post this episode. Actually, I think there's feedback on the forum, which I'll take a look at in a second. Let me just finish off Tower of the Hand if there's anything else interesting there. Like, the people were commenting on the episode again. They're liking it, and then somebody talked about a football fantasy league for some reason. But The Ep and said again, it was a very nerdy episode. Great Brandon Stark debate. And best comment was a means comparison whether Dunk liked to get his sword bloody like Brandon. Lol. Somebody pass me the brain bleach, please. Duck Chick said, Amin can't help himself, can he? With a big grin. I like it when people reference me. And then Ep-An said, luckily he can't. Smile, smile, smile. So I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm flattered. Okay. So that's it for there. So yeah, see what the feedback has. Your feedback on your video has been really good too in our forums. So it's a good thing you released it. And then I think Kyle, as you said, put his own video. I don't see the particular post, but it was good. I was too lazy to record it. I read it. I didn't want to go stop and record something. So
I have my computer right there in my room that I just kind of click on it.
Yeah, that was smart. I think anything. I mean, this just is one thing, but in 10 years or something, it'll be interesting when you look back.
Yeah, I'll probably like the book then.
Yeah, that's what. But I mean, not just for this book, but just in videos in general. When you look back, that's the whole point of doing videos. When you look back and reflect and see how things were. So, okay, so that's that. I guess we'll look at our main site. There was a mixed reaction to the last episode, and I understand it because somebody said it pretty well. I think it was Christina. Well, one guy just said it was the circle jerk or something.
Everyone liked it.
So, well, yeah, the podcast, we like to alternate between Circle of Spite and Circle of... It depends on where we are. But I understand. Yeah, if we had you there, for example, maybe you already had already voice. They already have you in the last episode, right? So it's not like we only have people that...
Yeah, I think someone mentions it's not like the entire podcast likes it.
Yeah, it just turned out to be that way with the guys. And if we had Kyle there, I think he would have just joined the circle jerk. I don't think he would have dissented. But and as I said, Dance with Dragons is probably the worst book of the series, like in my opinion. But I still like it compared to all their books. But there's things in there. Like my friends that just like plot were really pissed. And I like plot, and I'm pissed on that sense. And a lot of people that, especially the less, like, they're more into plot and not into theories, the more and more pissed they are. I don't know. What are you going to do?
Wait 10 years for the next one.
Yeah.
Like, with me, I think my problem is that I also read all the spoiler chapters ahead of time.
I think that was a big difference between you and me, because all that stuff was fresh for me.
Yeah, so whereas it felt like, I already know this, like a lot of the interesting stuff that happens at the beginning I already knew, so it didn't feel like it was part of the book. And then there's that trudging in the middle, and then it's just kind of the ending where stuff happens for me. So for me, I guess, didn't really seem like I was getting a new book.
And you can't really skip the spoiler chapter because they might have changed something since then, right? Like there's changes, so you can't just skip it and go into the middle. So you were reading stuff that you've already read. I can totally understand. And that's why I said when the spoilers, like I don't want to read like half the book before it comes out. Then I'm only get half the book. I'd rather have it fresh. But other than that, yeah, it was interesting discussions. And Elio actually posted a response on our site, so that's cool. Okay, let me look at some of our email here. Oh, we got an email from Nancy. Viola shopping, rushing home. Okay, so she'll get in. Let me open up our email and bypass all the spam we had. we got some emails about penis videos, whatever, that's more spams. Or Kyle signed it up with the wrong email. One thing I wanted to mention is that our podcast is being heard all over the world now with our second person from the Peace Corps. In Morocco this time. So wherever we are in Kyrgyzstan and Morocco, we're being shipped in for the Peace Corps. That was cool. I want to get one of those people on our podcast sometime as a guest host, and it has nothing to do with the fact that she's cute. But, next one, let's see. Dick and Matt Woody from the forums sent us an email. Got an email from Saad. He found the podcast a few months ago and he enjoyed it tremendously. He's listened to the first 30 episodes so far. It must be really good for people coming in now that they have so many episodes to listen to if they're once they get into the show. Rather than people who started from this very start and had to deal with all our hiatus.
Yeah, I feel weird though. Like people listening to the first episodes, I'm like, no, just come to the new ones.
That's true. Like we didn't hit our stride until the third one, at least, right?
Yeah.
The first two are just really awkward, and they have like old people that are dead now.
People are gonna wonder where people disappear to because they just disappear. But it's like, well, there were actually like long breaks between those times.
I think, yeah, like a lot. Generally, the later we got, the better we got because we were more comfortable with each other. We had more chemistry. We got to know each other. Plus, we had like all the terminology that grew, right?
Yeah.
So you can't have references to like feathered hats and things like that in episode one. So, oh, and then yeah, I had a post where people were voting on best episodes. Some of the good, like we, you know, the girls' night out, guys' night outs were always good, I think. And I don't know how the like how I thought of that initially, but it was my idea. the call-in show we had before was interesting, so hopefully this one will go well.
I'm pretty sure the shipping show was my idea, so yeah. I still win.
Yeah. We had a fascination with Black Woody for a few episodes.
Yep.
Yeah, we had that.
We killed it.
Yeah. Soul. Yeah, it's true. Black Woody will rise again. Okay. 2 points that came up, blah, blah, blah. Oh, this is he posed an interesting question. He said, why did Khal Drogo marry Dany as an opposite, like as opposed to a Dothraki bride?
Status symbol.
Yeah. And the idea of being like the father of the Stallion that mounts the world might have already been in his mind or something. I don't know. Like let's see.
Maybe the old crones had already given him like a prophecy or something.
Yeah, and she was... Oh, well, somebody else has said this about... An interesting idea about Dany and why her husband, doesn't seem to be that into her, and a lot of guys. And it might, like, I mean, we all assume Danny's really hot, but by their cultural standards, she might not be.
Yeah.
To them and to Drogo, you could say, oh, he's thought he's hot, but maybe she's not. I think Drogo found her attractive, but you can't assume that everybody and every like by all standards she's attractive in her world. It might depend on where she is. Hisdar might just see her as a skinny, horny teenage girl that's going after, like...
So. I'm always wary whenever people say she was, like, the most beautiful girl in the land. I'm like, well, by whose standards?
Yeah. Yeah. The dragons have a lot to do with her appeal.
Yeah.
Something else. And in another podcast, someone said that John Arryn made a mistake, this is from Saad, by arranging Robert to marry Cersei, but he disagrees... because House Tyrell was the biggest army, and Dorne was... So the Targaryens were still a threat, and so they had to tie Lannister to the family. Yeah, that's true in some ways. And, I mean, the marriage could have ended up... If the marriage had gone better, you know, how Eddard and Caitlin had gone, it would have been fine. But I guess it sort of depends on the characters you put in, right? Robert and Cersei are definitely different from Caitlin and Ned. They had different traits and different things they were bringing to either one. One was a whoring bastard, and the other was already banging her brother. So it wasn't a good chance of a good marriage there.
And also the fact that the Lannisters are responsible for
Aerys'
death and everything, you'd think that would kind of make them stuck on the one side. They couldn't flip later.
That is, if the Lannisters had just been a neutral factor, had done nothing... Then you need to, but they already, they killed the kids. They already pissed off Dorne anyways. They already made their bed. So, I mean, they were already tied to no matter what, even if he didn't marry Cersei. They were screwed. They couldn't go back to the Targaryens. So, I don't know. I guess Robert, it goes back to when I said that Ned should have married Cersei. I think that would have been a lot more interesting because he wouldn't have whispered Ashara
the
first night. So.
But then again, he wasn't exactly hot, so I don't know if Cersei would have been into him at all.
Well, I guess he could. Caitlin says he has a solemn face or whatever, or he's not. But we don't know how he was in bed. That could make up for it. Okay, let's see what else we have here. Oh, we know what he has. Aching loins. It's like he's in his mid-30s and he's still like...
Yeah, but that's after having practice.
True.
Cersei's already experienced it.
It depends if whether you think that it was Brandon or Ned that slept with Ashara. If it was Ned, then he's picked up some Dornish things. If it wasn't... All right, so that's from Saad. Thanks, Saad. Let's see what else we got here. And then we'll pull in a few more people in a bit. Kara, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, sends an email. What do you think of the TV show leaving out Danny not having a living child, like that those lines? Because they don't have Miriam talk about that. What do you think?
Well, the thing is, I never really took the prophecy as fact. I thought it was always kind of weird that Danny was. So, I don't know. Yeah. I just never put stock into that.
I don't think Miriam has... I mean, like, you could... she might have been bullshitting or whatever. Or, I mean, she can't be... How can she be 100% accurate? She's not a freaking doctor. I mean, yeah, okay, things went bad down there. But it doesn't mean that 100% can't have a child. A lot of people can have children with all kinds of situations. So then there's that whole prophecy about how the sun rising in the west and setting in the east is happening. That stuff. But okay, what else do we have here? Oh, Scott Holley. Scott, new listener, but he sent in a song that his friends have written about The Mountain That Rides. And so there's a song. Maybe I'll play that at the end of the episode. Let's see. What else we got here? Oh, somebody mentioned us on there. Alan Middleton, a professor at somewhere. Let's see. Professor in Central Ohio mentioned us in his blog. So let's see what he said about us.
Like a university professor?
Yeah. We seem to have a lot of university professors that listen to us. Okay. Alan Middleton. Okay. Where does he mention us? Oh, this is in July. I gotta look back in July here. Oh, here you go. So Bookcast. He said a few podcasts he's listening to. Mentioned our podcast. But we've been working on the HBO show, stuff like that. And our reread. So thanks for that. We're growing in the Peace Corps and in the Ivory Tower. Derek, who was listening to episode 20, I think that was another episode where we were looking at feedback. He said that when people were criticizing us, he said, "You guys rock, even though there were racist people in your group." Well, thankfully, Derek, they've passed on. So.
Oh, is that from way back when?
Yeah. We still had some really old guy on the podcast at that time. Who was never really racist, that thing.
No, we just joked about it.
The guy, he was married to a Japanese woman. It was kind of a stupid joke, actually. So, I'm glad we got past that. Charlie X has been listening to us since February and has finally caught up. He loves the show and the shocking lack of knowledge. He says, when George eventually gets on your show, he's wondering which of us will drop the ball first and offend him or reveal the shocking lack of knowledge. Pete emailed us and he said, damn, it feels good to be a Lannister. That's all he said. Mm-hmm. Jason says he loved the HBO recap review episodes. Earlier, Mimi was hitting on me because I made $45 an hour and did nothing but listen to your podcast. I got a raise, so I expect more tasteless emails and proposals.
Nice.
that explains where Mimi is right now, because you haven't seen her for a while. Another Aaron, not the Aaron from before, emailed us and says he loves the podcast. Randy Mantiply from Mantiply.com. said he'd been following for a few years. He loves their thing. This was right before Dance with Dragons came before. And he asked us if we could do a Feast for Crows review episode where we reviewed what was what had happened.
Oh, so, I have to reread that book too now?
Oh, no, it's too late now because the book already came out. This was before the book came out. So sorry about that. But we did do a preview episode, right? Like where you guys made predictions. I didn't make it to that.
I wonder if someone wrote down the list. We can check it off, which ones we got right and not.
Yeah. Well, who was the one who made the Hodor fight prediction? Is that you? Or?
These were predictions submitted by people.
Yeah.
And the Hodor fighting was one of them. You know, will Hodor fight in this book?
Yeah. Somebody, Bo emailed us. He said, do any of you guys think Jon Snow could be Lyanna's son by Rhaegar Targaryen?
Someone doesn't listen to the show.
I had some of these saved. I don't want to miss. We have a lot of good feedback. We love getting feedback, so even critical feedback is fine. I mean, constructive feedback is the best, right?
Yeah. Blatant flaming, we might just make fun of them.
Paul McBride emailed us, and he's talking about George making it confusing how big Westeros is, and where the hell is this book set, on Jupiter?
Well, the thing people got to remember is that Westeros is, what is it, 3 times the size of Earth?
Yeah, I don't know.
You got to be nerdy like us and actually, you know, go through all those quotes to find these things out.
Well, when I remember when I first read the books, I was thinking, what, 8,000 years? Come on, that's not a realistic world. But it's interesting how recently on the forums people talk about, well, no, that's just part of, I mean, it's not actually, everyone thinks it's 8,000, but yeah, it was only a couple thousand. It's just like in our world, things get exaggerated.
Yeah.
So then that is actually shows a really good world building to have that sort of idea. Well, people think that it looks like the dream time or something, and things are longer than they really were. Richard Polk loved episode 48, the post show. What happened in episode 48? That might be the one where we called everybody.
Yeah, I can't remember offhand.
When we called Christina and brainwashed her or something, according to someone. Well, you remember that video when it talked about George R. R. Martin, and it was the Asian parody on that Taiwanese news site? They emailed us like right after it came out. That site emailed us and said, as a fan site of George R. R. Martin, here's the thing. So I had that was pretty funny that they knew us.
Well, then I'm glad we talked about it.
Oh, then I asked them, I was like, whoever made that video knew about the series, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of little in jokes.
Yeah, I said they should come on the podcast, and then they rejected it. Well, they never respond. There's been times where we've gotten people, and then I got an email later saying, we've decided not to do it. And I'm like, did you listen to the podcast? Did it change your mind, or was it legal issues? Because I've gone after Amok.
Okay.
I looked at the paintings. I've gone after people who made the board game and stuff like that. So, Brigart Anderson.
Wow, we get rejected a lot, don't we?
Yeah. Brigart Anderson, a comment about the Black. You're missing the main aspect of the Black and serving the wall. It's meant to be a military culture. And people might have begun as rapists and murderers. They evolve into a family and grow into something a lot more than their collective beginnings. Also, I can't help but chafe when you refer to anyone being too old to podcast. Now, we didn't say they were too old to podcast. We just said they were old.
I don't think Nancy is that young, so...
Yeah. So good. No, it was a good email. But I get the point about the old jokes. Yeah. Sarah Martin says that A Song of Ice and Fire... Is it the podcast or the book? But one of them is a parasite that infects the brain. And I am a host. Okay. Next, Pierce. Yeah, people. A lot of people listen to us while they're commuting. That seems to be a comment. Like they'll be on the bus or the train.
Yeah.
And they get weird looks when they laugh a lot. Somebody was working over a beaker, like in the lab, and they were laughing, and the supervisor was pissed off about that.
I wish I could wear headphones. That works so bad.
Yeah. We have a few people from Europe that send in auditions, and they're great. We just haven't. And like this
time difference.
Yeah, time difference has been really hard to be able to do. Like I'm going to try to get them, or then the other call-in episode I do, I'll try to do like some other time. Like not everyone has to show up. Even if I'm there, I'm sure lots of people will show up for it, right? I think I'll pull in the people now. I think it's enough. Feedback. There's nothing else. Nothing you wanted to say.
Nope.
Runs or anything. Or...
I'm not the most talkative person.
You seen anything on Westeros or about us or?
Honestly, I have been kind of avoiding Song of Ice and Fire after finishing the book. I've just felt so...
You need a little break, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pull in some people here. Hey. Hello?
Poke, poke.
I think I have somebody else here, too. I'm going to pull in. Let's see. Who's Mindful Monk?
Name sounds familiar.
Mindful Monk is doing it Dothraki style. That's what his Skype says. So he seems like a listener. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, is this Navy Jedi?
It is.
Good. How's it going?
Oh, not too horrible.
Okay.
That's my standard answer.
Hello. So right now we have Ashley and me here. We pulled in Liam Index, so he hasn't said anything yet, though. Maybe he's working on his mic. Let me see if I have anybody else here. So what we did was we just went over some of the emails and feedback we got, sort of like a pre-show, and then we're going to just talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. So
okay.
I'm just gonna make sure that everyone who's online is in here. Let's see. I'll just pull in Mindful Monk and see who that is.
Hello, random person.
It's a moment he was dreaming of, just to be randomly pulled into a podcast on Ice and Fire.
You're today's new winner. It was funny. I went to a family reunion, kind of just like a little mini family reunion. And my cousin, who I haven't seen in 10 years, walks up to me and he says, your wife told me that you're into the Game of Thrones books. And I said, yeah. He's like, they're fucking awesome. I'm like, wow. Like, okay. Last I saw him, he was 10. And now he's like getting ready to go off to college. And he's a big Game of Thrones fan.
I keep not being sure if I should give them to my cousins. They're in high school, so I think they're old enough to read them. But at the same time, I don't want their mother to find out.
No, I was actually surprised he was reading them, because his mom is not into that kind of stuff. And it was really hard to bite my tongue, because he's only about halfway through Feast. And it was like,
I don't think you want to read it too young, because you won't appreciate it.
You won't get half of it.
And then if you've read it, then it's not going to be as good.
Right. Yeah.
It'll still be good, but it's just like, I think you need college age, or just going into college is at least like the minimum, I think. Unless the person is a gifted child or something. But even right. then.
Yeah, you don't want to be, can you imagine, like, if you were a parent and your kid walks in, Mommy, what's this word mean? Like, where did you get this book from?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot worse things out there, I think.
That's true.
that you'd be more worried about. Okay.
Is Brianna, is she still listening to us?
Yeah. I don't know if she found out about this. I'm looking at our forum posts. Lots of people said they'd be online. Let me see if they put...
Is my microphone working?
Now it is.
Yay! Hooray.
So this is Index from the forums, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Hello.
Hi. I was just finishing up watching The Guy's Not Out, Volume 3.
I still love that episode so much.
The circle jerk
it's
of
so,
Ice and Fire.
It's so awkward and hilarious. Like, the first like, 30 minutes of it are great because, like, so much, so, like, you do the introductions and then the call drops and you pick up doing the introductions again. And it's just, like, it's so jumbled.
See, when I edit, I take that stuff out.
I decided to keep it in because even though it was jumbled, the things that were said were funny at the time. And I stuck some of that at the end as well. Like, I cut it down a bit and then I put it back at the end.
I thought it was funny how Elio's like, and I read it like 6 months earlier, and everyone was like, ah.
Also, he was always saying, he always said, keep reading whenever we would talk about stuff in the past. So he already read it.
It's a good thing he lives in another country.
Yeah, yeah. Dan sounded like he wanted to reach through the internet and strangle him.
Okay, well, we could start talking about whatever, and people come in. They can come in.
Sure.
Yeah. They have to be wise enough to add us on Skype if they want to be able to join.
Is Kyle not going to be on today?
He was supposed to be, but then...
He got called in for an emergency or something. He got, you know, emergency Post- stunt double.
Whatever.
Emergency extra.
Yeah.
We run out of people to throw.
We had this guy who's going to stand over here with a box.
Yeah. He had to play
show up.
An ER doctor. It was an emergency ER doctor acting. There's a lot of people know about it. People will come, I think. So, what do you guys want to talk about? Oh, good. We got somebody else here. We pull them in.
Danny was supposed to be on here too. At least she said she was going to be. Is Mimi back from Mongolia yet? Because she was posting for a while, and now it's like she's disappeared.
She's back, but I think she's really busy because I guess getting caught up in work and that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah.
So she is back.
She's just not.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah, she's back in U.S. She's not back in Westeros yet. Oh.
Is he checking to see if her house burned down? So many ringing.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Oh, you're here.
Hey, Kyle.
what's going on, everyone?
Oh, Kyle, do you have your recorder as well, just in case?
Well, I'm typing this to you now. I've only got like 40 minutes or so before I actually have to go. So
yeah.
I was going to ask if it was even worth me jumping in, but...
Oh, we got people here.
All right. But here we are.
So what are we going to talk about? I haven't even thought about it.
Kind of the idea was, well, Ashton and I were talking about, we're kind of burned out by talking about the book. So we're hoping...
Yeah, I am a little bit too.
Okay. We're hoping to get people... But the user, like our listeners seem to really... I mean, they have a lot to talk about, so... Basically, whatever you guys want to talk about.
All right, recording.
Cool.
Have you guys started chatting yet? Did I interrupt something?
Oh, well, no, what Ashley and I did, which unfortunately weren't here, is we went over some of the feedback we got by email and online and all of that. That'll be at the start of the episode. But we haven't talked about the book yet. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And we're pushing Skype to its limit here. Both these people. Okay, well, I think what we can do... Is I'll ask first you Navy Jedi then Index what you thought again give us a rating out of 5 on the book and what you thought generally so we can get an idea because we don't know on Dance of Dragons
sure
okay so what do you think
You know, I would probably say I'd give it a fairly solid 4 lemon cakes out of 5. I am a Wheel of Time fan, so I'm used to books that don't go anywhere by the end of the book. 1,200 pages of sitting in the same spot. So that part didn't bug me so much. But, it was good. Was it worth a 10-year wait or whatever it was? I liked parts of it, but as a whole, I think it could have been better. Mm-hmm. I found myself starting to not like Danny, and I have been a Danny fan for a long time, but she went from the Boudica warrior queen to like the prepubescent 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And it was a little annoying that normally you'd do it the other way first. And then, the whole Tyrion not actually meeting her until, you think that every time you see Tyrion chapter, you think it's going to be, oh, he's going to meet her. And he never does. And Illyrio really creeped me out. Did I read that right? He keeps his dead wife's hands in a jar in his bedroom.
What?
Remember what's it in, but he does keep them. Yeah,
I remember, like, he at the very beginning, like, the first Tyrion chapter or two, he talks about how he loved his wife so much that he keeps her hands to remember her by, like, pickled in his room or something. Like, oh, God.
And he has, like, a statue of himself as a young boy just hanging out, like, his courtyard.
Well, who doesn't have that?
Yeah, come on.
No, I don't get, like, people say that Peter is so much worse than Varys and Illyrio, and I'm just like, well, I think those other two are just as creepy.
I wonder what he does with his wife's hands.
I don't want to think about what he does with his wife's hands. But Varys got some badass points at the end of the book for me. I wasn't happy
about him killing Kevin because I like Kevin, but I thought it was a great move for him. Like he had to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been anyone in that spot. The fact that it was Kevin is kind of throwaway for me because he was always the backup.
Good Lannister.
He Lannister number 12, if you were looking at a call sheet. He never really distinguished himself very much for me, but he was
coming into the limelight. I thought he was going to become more significant, and I thought it was pretty shocking when Varys stepped in and took him out.
He was generally a good guy.
He was, as the Lannisters go, he wasn't the worst one, but,
I think he was so likable because he didn't put up with Cersei's shit. I just applauded every time he came on stage.
Yeah.
But then he got taken out.
Yeah, so I would say a solid 4 out of 5.
Okay. What about you, Windex?
I definitely have to give it a 4 out of 5.
Join this. The circle jerk here.
Yeah, there were parts I didn't like. And as someone who is still a huge Dany fan, the only thing I actually didn't like was at the very end when she meets the Dothraki. She really hasn't come anywhere emotionally. Like, when you're reading that chapter, you're like, shouldn't Dany be kind of, like, mad at somebody or, like, done with Meereen at this point or anything like that? But no, she's still sort of, oh, I'm just going to come back and it'll still all be okay because I'm not there. So what could possibly happen while I'm not there?
Doesn't realize it all hell's breaking loose.
Yeah, I hope that her meeting with the Dothraki will, like, refocus her judgment and be kind of like, hey, I really need to get on this shit and, like, get on a boat and leave this fucking place. Because as much as I like to, hear all the backstory about some stuff, like, I want Dany to go do stuff. So, that was a bit annoying. Although I thought, like, her character kind of needed some reflection time. Because I think a lot of people thought, oh, well, she's just in Meereen because George can't find a way to get her out of there. And that wasn't really true. Because when she initially took Meereen, he could have just been like, and then she got on the boat and went to Westeros. But instead, he was like, no, I think her character needs this, like, sedentary development period right now. And I thought that was, I think that has the potential to be good for her, but it hasn't been so far. So it was really kind of annoying to do that. But I liked a lot of the book. I didn't like Tyrion's chapters so much as I have in the past. But I thought Theon's chapters were just so powerful. Like, I didn't really feel that much connection with Theon coming up into that, but it was so to me, that was like the sequence in the book. That really made the book with those chapters because it was so well done and so
they felt like reading Storm of Swords again.
Yeah, yeah. It was perfect for that character. It was exactly almost what you wanted to see from him, but it was so bad you almost didn't. I never thought I would say no, not this thing happening to Theon that's horrible. I wanted Theon to always be having. Like, horrible things happened to him, and then this book showed up, and I was like, okay, maybe I should reassess that idea.
You bastard.
But I mean, it was really incredible that he could bring a character sort of back from that. Like, I thought that was, like, the biggest testament to, like, Martin's writing, was those chapters.
Yeah, he went full circle from thinking he was in charge to thinking he was Reek.
Yeah, yeah, which rhymes with leak, which exactly. I didn't enjoy at all. Oh, my gosh. I had this
annoying.
Little... It's like I had something in the back of my head just screaming at me every time I would read that line. I don't know why.
You couldn't write like anything with index. That's the problem. You wanted to have a one-liner.
Index. Yeah.
Well, they didn't have that back then.
Yeah, so it's funny because I like all the little stupid lines, like much and more and stuff like that, but something about Reek It Rhymes With Weak just made me want to, like, claw out Theon's eyes for just a second.
Well, that's kind of like where the whores go thing. That got annoying to me. He kept asking, like, where do whores go? Like,
well, I thought it was really important to Tyrion. Like, it seems like he spent the whole book sort of evaluating his action against his father, which is something he had never really done. Like, he had always been so much of a Lannister. Like, I'm always family first, even though I can sometimes appear to be, like, self-centered. Like, I hate Cersei, but my family is always kind of like my thing. Like, he was always the one to say Lannisters pay their debts. He was all about the Lannisters, and he finally lashed out at someone he wouldn't have. And I thought that was kind of like, he spent all this time not really doing much in the books, and he just had to reflect on what he did.
He was doing, mentally he was developing, I guess, in the head.
Yeah.
But like one thing it took me a while to get used to, this was 10 years ago when we read about him, but for him, was only a couple of weeks later.
Yeah.
There was that jump that we weren't, like, if we had read this book right after Storm of Swords, then it would have made more sense that he was acting in this way.
Yeah.
So
also, I was a little Tyrion starved. Like,
yeah.
I was just so looking forward to having Tyrion again. I was just like, yes, I'm going to be able to read a Tyrion chapter and it's going to be awesome. And then the first line started off with, I drank my way across the narrow sea, and was just like, yes. And the whole thing was a bit of a letdown because he never actually really got anywhere. But yeah, that definitely 4 out of 5 for me, because there are parts I thought could have been better, but like on the whole it was great.
I haven't found anyone that didn't like the North story. I think that is generally the strongest part of the book, stuff going on in the North.
Well, the most stuff happens there.
Yeah, I also think it was the most familiar with us. I mean, because we have all this stuff happening over in Essos, and you know, who were all those people and all these characters that we're not too familiar with, but then we, you know, and all of a sudden we're dragged back to the North and we know all these characters and we know what's going on.
It was kind of like they brought back Manderly and you're like, oh, hey, this guy's cool now. Like, you never really had a chance to, like, figure out who he is, but you're like, I know you. You're the big fat guy who's, like, asking to marry his son to this lady, but now it's like, no, you're like a badass. So it was cool to see characters that we already saw, like, grow and develop, as opposed to, like, Cross the Narrow Sea, where it was just, and here's a new character that we're probably not going to care too much about.
And we don't get viewpoints on Essos people. I mean, Martin himself said that because Essos is not supposed to be the focus of the story, but they don't spend so much time there. If you give us viewpoints, then maybe that'd be more interesting.
Well, I think people liked the North more, too, because it wasn't as open-ended. It wrapped up storylines. Like, you couldn't argue with the fact that, you know, Jon killed Jaina Slynt. And the guy that we've had hanging in the back that we've all hated for the last 3 books, and his storyline is over and done, and there's a sense of, okay, that's cool, now we can move on to something else.
Yeah, but the North, it feels like it started at one place and it ended in another, where the other parts just kind of feel like they started at one place in a big circle and is an inch farther ahead.
Yeah, they didn't quite. Although there's somebody, I can't remember. There were people arguing in the forum about the whole killing Janos thing and whether it was justified on our forum, actually. So it was interesting. I don't know if Index, you were there. I can't remember who was posting
it. I remember that thread, but I didn't post on it. Yeah. I will say I did. I did a little mental just cheer when he killed Janos. I was just like, thank you for somebody killing him. Because there's so many characters like that I feel have, like, Alistair Thorne is still alive, and you're just like, can a white just maul him, like, accidentally in a battle sometime? Please, can he get into some kind of dispute with a wildling and have, like, a giant boar ram him through the gut or something like that? But no, like, not gonna happen with him. I'm gonna have to deal with him. But Janos,
isn't he kind of dead now?
He's north of the wall, unless he like escaped or something. But
was he one of the three that Melisandre says are going to come back dead?
Yeah, I thought so. Wasn't he?
I hope so.
Well, he thought it was a death sentence, like of sorts, right? Like that he was being sent north.
Mm. Oh, he certainly did.
And it was, I mean, it was a low success mission. Low probability of success.
Yeah, absolutely. But he sent out, how many teams was it? Didn't he send out a bunch of teams of three? Or what was it?
It was three.
It was three teams or three people?
It was three teams of three, because two teams weren't going to make it, but one was.
Okay. And Melisandre just says that he has three deaths on his hands?
I think so.
Well, it could be any of them. What was disappointing was Carter Pryke, which I liked. He's probably dead.
Yeah, I still don't quite know what to think about what's going over at Hardhome, because like part of me wants to be like, okay, I'm going to get resolution on this, and then part of me is going to be like, no, they're just going to never go there, and it's just going to be a lost cause that never really anything happens to.
Yeah. Does anyone else think that the things in the water might be something other than others?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell, because we haven't seen anything in the water up to this point, right?
So, yeah.
Well, the others can, like, make dead like horses and stuff the others, so what if it's like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, the wall can't block the water, so wouldn't they have always been able to get through?
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I was thinking, because there's the lake or the inlet or whatever on the west side, right? That they could have just, you know, walked across or
swam
across. So there must not be others in the water at Hardhome.
Well, maybe the wall extends under the water.
like Queen's Crown.
It's got like the whatever magic is there is actually continues onward.
Well, the water is just melted parts of the wall, so it's just liquefied wall.
I always wonder, why is this only going on in Westeros? Why is none of the rest of the world affected?
Because there's no others over there.
It doesn't go that far north.
Maybe.
Oh.
Well,
because from the map we have in the front of the book, like Essos doesn't go that far north.
Although they
right?
have stuff going on in Ashai, I think, or there's things mentioned there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we still haven't seen a map of Ashai yet.
Yeah, not necessarily others, but I mean, sort of this end time philosophy, like shit's going down. This seems
shit
to be
going
down. But no one's talked about anything weird going on there. They just talk about it as a mysterious place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what was the need for Azor Ahai? Like, I don't know a lot about that thing, but what the hell was he doing?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, so bad we don't have Elio this time.
Mr. Knowledge, Maester.
Yeah.
The Maester of Westeros.
There's something about Hardhome I had noted. Let's see if I can find it.
Like, I've been, like, living on a wiki of Ice and Fire the past week.
Yeah. Some of the... The ships that were in Braavos, didn't they get the slaves from Hardhome? Like, the ships that were captured, they had gotten people from Hardhome, right?
Yeah, they had gotten some people.
Yeah, and I thought I had said, like, then they were going to go back or something, because they needed slaves. But yeah, because there was no slave, because Dany screwed up the whole slave system, they needed more slaves, and they were going to go back and try to get more people from Hardhome. That's what I thought I had noted, but let me see if I can find that paragraph.
Well, what I wonder is because we're not going to, I don't think John's going to make it there. So I'm wondering what other POV could make it there. So I'm like, maybe like Arya could like stow away on a ship. And that's how she gets back to Westeros. She like has to assassinate somebody on the ship or somebody like, I don't know, at Eastwatch or something like that. And that's how she gets back. And like along the way, she gets like trapped on the wrong side of the wall or something.
Oh, man. Well, we've got Davos and Rickon and Osha over...
That's true.
Skagos, right? So they're in the air. They're in the vicinity.
I guess my thing is just, I don't know how Arya can spend that much more time in her Faceless Man training and still be relevant to the story. It's the same sort of problem I have with Bran and Sam. It's like, how are they going to quite get there so that they're really doing stuff by the last book if they only have two books to like do all of their training?
She's got to get the hell out of there. I thought she was totally going to turn into like the Anakin thing where, you know, she was going to start her training and not finish it and leave because of, you know, personal reasons. And they were going to be like, no, you can't leave. And then she leaves with like, you know, three quarters of the knowledge. So she's just completely reckless and everything with Faceless Man abilities. That's what I'm hoping.
That would be pretty cool.
Wouldn't they just take her out then?
Not if she killed them first.
Yeah, they might try.
I found that paragraph where it's actually Arya talking about it, where she describes Hardhome and a few Lysenni ships had gotten slaves, and it said that the Lysenni think that they will return with more ships because of the price of slaves is rising, blah, blah, blah. So there may be more ships going there, slavers, heading up to Hardhome.
Slaves?
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. I mean, that could be a factor.
It's going to be like the end of Shaun of the Dead when he's got the zombie friends tied up in the shed.
Maybe Carter Pike will be taken as a slave.
Oh, God. Nice.
God.
Excellent.
Or he'll storm the slaver ship. But I mean, we might not have seen the end of Carter Pike. I think
I hope not.
We're going to see Carter Pike again.
Oh, man. Carter Pike. No, I was just reading up on him now. Talking about losing ships and sailors and whatnot. Celador San. Oh, yeah. I like that guy,
man.
Oh,
that bastard.
I was so pissed when the chapter started off and it was like, oh, he's gone. That dude. And did you guys notice whenever Davos gets on a ship, shit seems
something
to go bad
happened.
For him?
Yeah.
I thought this guy was supposed to be a good sailor. Every time he's on a ship, he gets stranded on some island somewhere.
Well, I really liked that part when he was on that little island, even though it was kind of a delay, whatever. But I mean, not only was it world building, but just the whole, like, this book, people say is the redemption of Eddard, right? That's some people say, like, because of the North, all the people were willing to go rescue the Ned's daughter. So, yep. But even when Eddard was young, he did some pretty cool things. Like, yeah,
did any of you believe that fishwife story off the top, or did you dismiss it out of
hand? One of my friends did. But no.
I read that and I was like, bullshit. I'm waving the bullshit. Yeah. Like, there's no way. They've built it up and George has made it so obvious that it can't be talked about, because every time they're about to talk about it, they don't and something happens, that it's not just...
Yeah, it's just there as a joke. I think he just threw it in there for fun with the references and stuff.
Yeah, everyone has their own theory as to who's the mother of John.
If it was Robert, I would have believed it. But not Ned. Come on. Like, he's, like, barely alive, and he's going across the water, and he's going to, like, father a kid. So.
Oh, it was the timeline that really kind of messed it up.
Yeah.
The raised flags.
But what he says is cool. Like, he said, nothing is certain in this life but winter. Right? That was cool.
Yeah.
And then he was freed, and you saw what happened. So.
I was kind of scared in the beginning of that chapter, because I was worried that Davos was going to get it right in the beginning. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah,
I thought it was really interesting that Davos was talking to someone about Ned, because I always felt like Davos was like Ned 2.0, like Ned, but he's not he's not the Lord of the North. He doesn't have all the responsibilities, so he has sort of like more free reign to kind of do what he wants. But he's still, I mean, if you look at, they're very similar characters. So I thought it was funny. It's like he's freeing him for the same reason he freed Ned.
Yeah,
like more similarities.
Well, Ned was a badass even then, and people say that he couldn't have impressed Ashara. He was a shy badass. That was the thing.
Oh man, he was. He was a shy badass, and that's like the the Atticus Finch kind of badass.
Yeah, that's true. Well, earlier on, Ashley and I were speculating whether Ned was good in bed, because we were referring to one example as the aching loins, but then Ashley said that, well, maybe he learned over time, and so
maybe when you're married,
it's not like Catelyn has much to go on besides Theon. He was obviously a
little finger. Oh, no, wrong sister.
I don't know, but I mean, they've been married for how many years now, and they're still regularly involved. So
you learn to ache some loins once you've been married for a while.
He's got the northern maneuvers.
The North remembers the moves. All right, what else we got?
Let's see. So I think Ashley's going to go out for a second, but. Let's see if there's anybody else online here that...
I'm kind of glad that it turned out that it wasn't Mance that got burned right there in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because I was a little pissed off that he was going to go out screaming like a bitch.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I thought that was weird.
I've always liked Mance. I thought he was a good character. You know, if not a good guy, but I always thought he was an interesting character. And to just see him go out like that, I was disappointed for a little while. And then when Rattleshirt beat Jon Snow up in the yard, I was like, damn it! And then I found out that Rattleshirt was Mance, and I was like, okay.
But then I thought Jon did pretty well there, because Mance is one like the best fighter.
Yeah, basically. I never realized that Mance was that good.
Plus, Mance has like the super like red or whatever it is, the necklace that he has that's like giving him like the super powers or whatever.
What?
Did it seem like that? Because he was talking about how like the gives him the necklace for like the facade thing or whatever. Like every time like he would like kind of come back at him, it would like pulse. And it seemed like it was kind of like little like extra bonus from Galore.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I don't know. That's what I thought as I was reading it.
Donna said he should have been tired by now because he was using a bigger sword and all that.
Yeah.
In this any case,
wielding a bigger sword.
The guy was their best because you had to be the at least top like really top fighter to be the king of the wildlings because you had to fight anybody who challenged.
Yeah, he might just be a badass. Yeah. Like that's entirely possible.
Yeah. Yeah. So I figured that John did pretty well and he learned from it. Right. He's better there than in a real battle.
Absolutely. That's right.
Sad, sad, right? So, what did you guys think of Lady Dustin?
Oh man. She
it's one of those ones you got to be careful with. Kyle.
She got Brandon's bone. And now she wants Eddard's bone. So. she came out of left field, man. All of a sudden, there's this woman who wants to go down to the crypts and talking about banging Brandon and this and that hatred of the Starks wanting to get.
If you're Elio, she's there to show the Brandon theory, right? That's why.
Is that the whole reason why she's in it? Was that his theory?
I mean, that's part of it, right? Giving backdrop and Brandon and stuff like that.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Still, my biggest problem with that theory is the relationship with Eddard and Brandon is like completely ruined if that's true.
Yeah.
Like, because Eddard adores Brandon, and like, if that's true, that's horrible, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, like.
Well, he makes like one. I mean, Ned is allowed to make one petulant comment in the whole books where he's like, oh, Brandon wouldn't know what to do or whatever. I mean, yeah, you do that with your brother. It's not like you're 100% with your... Like, that's one thing that Elio mentions. Like, you sometimes will complain about your siblings. That's a complete... And then to name your son Brandon, do you think you'd do that if your brother had screwed with the girl you like?
Yeah, that's...
So, yeah, I mean, think about the names of his other sons, John and Rob, you know?
Yeah.
His two, like, other closest friends.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So that was a theory that Brandon slept with Ashara, even though Eddard was digging on her?
Yeah.
So there's a whole Euron-Victarion thing going on
yeah.
with the Starks now?
Basically. And then Ned bashed her head in.
Jesus.
And then whatever Victarion did.
Oh, man. Victarion, that is one of my new favorite characters.
He was one of my risers in this book. Like, there's a lot of people I like a lot more after this book. And he was definitely one of them. Because, like, before I was kind of like, okay, so you're, like, the little brother to, like, the cool guys, and you're just kind of bitching about, you know, you seem like another Stannis, and then he turned out to actually be pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, we're just sacrificing these people because, you know, why not? I mean, can't hurt.
Oh, man, that girl with all the piercings. Oh, why do you have to burn her? him and Makoro, as soon as they met up, man, those two are awesome. I want them to stick together for the rest of the book. Those guys.
That's a great group, the two of them.
You guys think he's gonna blow? He's gonna have somebody blow the horn? You think he's gonna? You think he's gonna go back to Westeros with the dragons in tow?
Hmm. I don't know.
I think it's the only way to get Dany out of Meereen is if he shows up.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of thought that was gonna be the dance with dragons, and some people said that like that he was gonna get there, blow the horn, and the dragons were gonna fight, and that was gonna be the dance with the dragons, like the conflict over getting the dragons, like a real conflict, not the attempted stealing that happened.
Well, like, the post I made on the forums was, like, if Dany recruits some of the Dothraki and then comes back to Meereen, then frees Meereen, and then Victarion shows up, now she has the two things she didn't have coming into it that were, like, specifically noted, was she had no cavalry and she had no navy, and now she would have both. So she'd essentially have, like, the best foot soldiers, the best horse riders, and the best navy in the whole world. I'm like, what's a better time to invade Westeros?
Well, Victarion himself mentioned how he was outnumbered, right? Badly by those guys, but that doesn't mean like we'll see what happens. But some of those people might turn to Dany, right? The slaves on those ships. So if they start winning,
especially once they see the dragons flying out over there.
Yeah,
you know?
So it does have the potential to win a naval battle and then have still a fleet there. It's going to be very interesting when something actually happens over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
My theory has always been I'm a cynic. So I'm waiting for Dany to invade and then blow the horn, and it's been telling us from the beginning what the horn is supposed to do.
Yeah.
And because it's George, I'm waiting for them to blow the horn and the complete opposite happens.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, they blow the horn and all the whites, you know, all the others rise up and start, like, killing everybody. And you're like, oh, well, shit, shouldn't have blown the damn horn.
What do you think? Are you guys saying that the two horns, you know, the horn of Jorman and the horn that Victarion have, or... do the same thing? I always thought they were two separate. two separate horns. One to bring down the wall, and one to bind the dragons.
One of them could just make a really funky noise. Like, we don't know what they do.
Well, we know the one Victarion has killed that tattooed dude in Feast, right?
Yeah.
When he blew it.
Oh, he wasn't the blood of the dragon, maybe. No.
Well, Makoro said anybody who blows it's gonna die, but yeah. but you don't have to blow it to You don't have to blow it to bind the dragons to you. You just have
it's only
to
preferable, not required.
You can have somebody else blow you. I mean it and
yeah.
Well, Makoro might blow Victarion's horn.
I don't think.
Yeah, because
he did promise some guy in guy action, like Martin said there would be. So.
Yeah, that's John Connington, man.
Well, yeah, but he has the whole thing like Makoro has to realize, like, as soon as he gets a prediction wrong, he's fucked, literally. So
he's getting shit wrong, man. That guy is right. 100%.
That's true, but
he's the honor student of Melisandre's class, and Melisandre was the D student.
Yeah, except yeah. Guys, when Makoro was on the boat and he pictured, I think he told Tyrion, or I don't remember who it was. Yeah, Tyrion, I guess, that he saw a one-eyed like sea monster with many arms or whatnot. Obviously, I thought that was Euron, but then Victarion shows up. What's up with that? That kind of confused me a bit. Is it because Euron sent Victarion that, he's Euron's envoy or something?
Well, Euron, gave Victarion orders to, come back to him, so it's entirely possible that those two meet up.
Yeah, I don't even know what's the last that we heard of Euron himself. Now, is he still on the islands?
I think he's still encamped, outside of...
Because he can very well tell Victarion to do one thing, and then he himself does another. He's not a trustworthy person, right? He might have just followed him along and has been following the whole time. Who knows, right?
Yeah, he doesn't seem the type to me to just put 100% faith in his brother.
Yeah.
Whose wife he slept with.
Yeah. That guy is a douchebag. Like, that's the way, because it's like you could...
I know. Somebody said on the forums that Quentin was a typical frat boy type, but I have to say Euron,
Quentin was not a frat boy type.
Quentin's great. Yeah. I loved him. I was he was my most awe moment when he died in the whole book. I
felt so bad that nobody put him out of his misery.
Yeah.
And by the way, his the Urinwood guy who he's with, that dude's a badass. He's like, oh, I'm just going to pat out the flames with my bare hands. I don't give a shit. This dude's my friend.
Yeah.
It's like, damn.
Now Dorne is going to be pissed off at Dany. So that's one of the major consequences of it.
Yeah, sway them into...
Because basically they're going to...
Siding with...
And this is not exactly what... Oh, here we go. Someone else is... yeah.
Did we get somebody?
T-Duck.
Ah, T-Duck.
Before I make my comment.
Speaking of T-Duck...
Yeah?
I am currently dominating in the Podcast Spice and Fire Fantasy Football League.
Oh, let me take a look here.
Hey, folks.
Hey.
What's up?
This is Jordan T-Duck on the forums.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. We're having a pretty lively chat so far.
Excellent.
We were just talking you have anything?
Oh, no, I'm just going to say, what's up, Jordan? How you doing, man?
He's barbecuing, apparently. He's barbecuing another person. He's a Manderly, or he's from Skagos.
That's a baby barbecue, I think, right?
Well, who doesn't love a good barbecue?
Why do you have, a person on it, though? There's, is that a person, or is that a log?
I think what really matters is what kind of barbecue sauce are you using.
Ah, good question.
Skagos has really good barbecue sauce, apparently. Mm. Yeah. They get it from, sort of a gravy from the unicorns up there.
Man.
We were just mentioning how Dany dying, not Dany dying, but...
Oh, you got my hopes up for a second.
Yeah. When Quentin died, basically the story they're going to get in Dorne is that they sent Quentin there to do that deal, and Dany rejected him just to go with some sellsword who used her every way there was. And then had her dragons kill Quentin. That's basically what they're going to probably...
She didn't have her dragons kill Quentin.
That's something they're probably going to hear. That's that type of story. Not exactly what happened, right?
It's going to... Yeah. They're going to telephone it, and by the time it gets to Dorne, it's going to be Dany set her dragons on him in the throne room in front of 100 witnesses. And
While Daario was using her everywhere there was.
Yeah, exactly. In the middle of being ridden Dothraki style,
and the other guy too.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ. I think the story that's going to reach Dorne is that Quentin freed these dragons like a dumbass.
And then burn to death.
His companions are gonna say that if they actually get like they go there. Even if the companions come, they're gonna be pissed at Danny. Or if no one goes,
no way. If the companions are the one, if they get back to Dorne, Dorne's not gonna be pissed.
Oh, they are.
I feel like rumors are gonna do more damage than the truth.
Rumors for sure will do a lot of damage. But I mean, at least the younger guy was really pissed off. And the older guy seemed like he'd be pissed as well, regardless of the truth. He's angry, right? The younger guy was already saying that sort of stuff, that he was spurned by Danny. So,
and then plus, they have to go and get back the hostages before they can even do anything else.
Although the hostages might be dead.
Yeah.
Not Dario.
Dario might be dead. He might have just flung his head over the, like, with a blue beard.
And then the story they can tell is that they then killed Dario, who was having Danny every way he could. And then Danny set the dragons on him.
Well, I liked when the Shave Pate was talking with Barristan, and they were talking about Dario might die, and the Shave Pate said, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. He was saying that.
Yeah.
And Barristan couldn't really say that it was not, that wouldn't be a good thing if Dario died. It was just getting in the way.
I think the Shave Pate's going to end up being, like, the ruler of Meereen by proxy. Mm. Once Dany decides to leave, she's going to put him in charge. Because, like, yeah. I don't see how he functions in Westeros or, like, what his purpose is there. So it seems like, you know, you need to put somebody from your sort of group in charge of the city when you finally do leave it. So take this guy.
Sorry, I'm getting a call. I'll be right back.
No way. Barristan's going to be king.
Well, they still have to root out the harpies.
That's true, yeah. But if Dany doesn't come back, I mean, they're not going to do much, right, anymore?
Yeah.
Well, the Shave Pate's running things with his masked men.
But the insurgency was against Danny. It wasn't against the local Meereenian who were helping her. It was specifically against her.
Yeah. That's what I thought. So with her gone, the problem I thought would be solved. I don't know.
Well, I guess it depends on what exactly the Shave Pate's feelings are on restoring slavery.
Mm. That's true.
Because I think that's the bigger issue.
Yeah.
Danny supported slavery. If whoever ends up in charge also supports ending slavery,
I gotta be honest. The Shave Pate is one of those characters that was confusing me. I didn't know who this guy was the whole time. So,
yeah.
Along with everybody else,
it seemed like there was like a one chapter gap where you should have had a chapter where sort of all of this was explained, but they sort of like skipped that and like the gap from book to book.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Martin doesn't take you by the hand. We know that. Throws you in the deep end. Lets you swim your way out. Oh man.
My favorite part of the book is still Barristan like taking on the guy when he's in full armor.
Yes. He's like, "You're a coward. This coward's gonna kill you, sir."
That was pretty badass.
Barristan was another one of those guys that like. Like, I already thought he was cool, but after this book, he was, like, super cool. Like, elevated up into, like, major badass. From just, like, you know, low-level badass.
I loved how in the beginning, when Danny's like, "Tell me the story of how you left." And he's like, "Oh, there's not much to tell." Rode down a couple of guys, pulled a spear from one guy, shoved it through another guy's neck. Like, he was real casual about, "Oh, I just killed a bunch of people and left."
Yeah, and then came back and hung out in the city for a while.
He's like, "Oh, I walked out, killed a bunch of guys with a knife, and then you know, said, hey, you know, I should probably go back, so I'll just disguise myself." So like he's like a total James Bond. He's like the master of disguise and like sneaky killing.
Yeah, man. Do you guys think so? He was back in the city for Eddard's beheading. You guys think he was sitting in the crowd? Just leisurely watching. I can't imagine that he wouldn't have the urge to just jump up there and do something crazy.
I thought he saw it. Like he was saying he saw it, right?
Yeah, he saw it. But you got to think, like, how much self-control did he have not to jump up there and, you know, do something rash or bold, quote unquote bold. I feel like, you know, it would be very hard for him to sit there and stomach that whole thing without wanting to do something.
Well, I think he kind of has a history of that, though.
Oh, remember what Eddard did to his love.
Oh.
He had mixed feelings. On one side, he's like...
Oh, he wanted to see Eddard get his head chopped off.
This is bad. On the other side, he's not worth dying for the guy. He's got respect for him. He's not going to die for him.
He's like, "Because of you, Ashar jumped out of a tower. I hate you."
He was pissed off about the aching loins.
He didn't do anything about Aegon killing Ned's dad, though. Like, he's one of those people, like Jaime said, that stood there and watched.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he attacking, like, yeah, exactly. He didn't, even when he got dismissed, when he was really pissed off, he had enough control to leave. Yeah. No, he could have cut them like a dagger through cheese.
Yeah. He could have just made all of our lives much better and just killed Joffrey and Cersei right there.
Oh, man. Then we would have had an epic Hound versus Barristan the Bold.
That would have been good.
That would have been so awesome.
Unless he killed, like, he killed Joffrey right away and the Hound was like, fuck that. Like, there's no point.
I was like, meh. Where's my little Arya chick?
Threw that cheese dagger into Joffrey.
Jesus.
And then, yeah.
Badass. This is turning into like a what-if episode now.
Deadliest Warrior Westeros style.
Honestly, cool. Like, I don't know. If he's younger, if you were talking about Hound versus Barristan, right?
Yep.
You know, you got it. It's really hard. It's really hard to call. But I'm starting to lean toward the Hound on this one.
I think the Hound might be able to outlast him.
Yeah.
Like, if he was smart enough to, like,
yeah,
run him around and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, on a, like, straight-up one-on-one fight, like, with, like, just sitting there pounding at each other the whole time, Barristan could totally win. Like, I think he's probably a more skilled swordsman. But yeah. I think, like, the Hound is a bit more clever from battle. So, and is a little more, like, yeah, he can use, like, sneaky tactics.
I think Barristan knows how to use a lot of weapons, too.
Yeah, but Barristan is hampered by the fact that he is a decent guy, and he would fight honorably and with ethics, and the Hound would grab sand and throw it in his face and then slit his throat.
Yeah.
I don't see it as too terribly a dissimilar matchup as what happened, you know, in Histar's quarter. Granted, the Hound would be wearing armor, but he's still more of a brawler than a knight.
The Hound would have just chopped through that guy. Like,
yeah. I think...
Like that, whatever
that battle was won so much because that guy didn't have armor. I feel like it would have been much more of a skirmish if he had some plate.
Mm. Oh, sure. But I'd still say Barristan comes out on top.
If Barristan can win it quickly, if it's a short fight, then Barristan has the advantage. But if the Hound can stay in there long enough that Barristan's age actually plays a factor, then... Well, I know how if you have a battle of the fangirls, the Hound wins. So, I don't think there's many Barristan.
Yeah, if you have a battle of the fanboys, Barristan wins.
Well, no, I think that's still split. I mean, I'm still split on that. But, Hey, I think the Hound could have challenged. I mean, Jaime. There's a thing. Half of what Jaime, like Feast for Crows, as it says, a couple things. Jaime just thinks about people sleeping with Cersei, and he keeps saying how the Hound is a badass. He just keeps saying it over and over again. So. That was what Jaime said.
And then in A Dance with Dragons, all we got was him walking on people having sex. Got a little taste of his own medicine.
He was checking out them titties.
Well, it was funny when he went in there, and he's just like, that was just a funny scene. Which will make it into HBO for sure.
Yo, yeah. Oh my god. He's getting so good at speechifying now that he's missing a hand.
He's picking up a little bit of Tyrion's like wit.
Yeah.
He can't fight anymore, so he's got to use his mind a little bit more.
Very very diplomatic these days, you know. See.
It continues to impress me how much George has turned him around from an asshole to someone that's pretty likable.
I love the scene where he walked in and negotiated with the guy.
Yeah.
Where he like, okay, I'll be nice. I won't send your only daughter. I'll send like the son you think is like a little bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I really like the part when they went to the town afterwards and all his men wanted to, you know, take care of the town. They wanted to storm the castle or whatever it was, and Jamie's like, no, that's not what we're doing.
Yeah.
No, Siege ends today.
Yeah. He's like, these people didn't do anything. We're just hanging here for a night.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, he's like, how long you guys been sitting here playing with yourself, waiting for the walls to come down? I'm going to walk in and it's in an hour.
Yeah.
But he redeemed Jamie, at least to the people like him, and same thing with Theon. He can make characters that people hate.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So.
And speaking of the Knights of the Kingsguard here, what more evidence do we get about Loras? Is he disfigured? We still don't know. It's still the same mystery right now, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's searching through Dragonstone for treasures.
So. For treasures. For new skin.
That's what he said. They were looking for money. But
maybe he's going to have a little bit of like a Hound effect. Or like he's all maimed and shit, so he has to like reevaluate his like status. Because girls don't swoon whenever they see him.
Well, I don't think he never really cared that much about I guess he did care. He could have been like flattered by it, even though he wasn't interested.
Yeah, like, I think it's part of like his like image and like just sort of like his like walking around like a badass kind of thing.
Chicks
like,
dig scars, right?
Chicks dig scars, especially when they're like half like the length of your body. They're all burn marks.
Yeah. Wait, are we still talking about scars?
Yeah. Why?
What else we got?
Oh, well, we didn't hear anything about like Arrain Waters, I think, right? He left with the ships.
Yeah, the ships are gone. We'll never find them ever again.
They're probably he knew he had heard about the Danny stories, right? That was another guy I thought would show up, and he's probably still on the way.
Well, maybe he's going to show up and pick up the Unsullied, and bring him over
with Sweet Cersei. Was it? Did he take Sweet Cersei as well, or is that still there?
He left one, didn't he?
Yeah. Cersei wasn't ready yet, I think. But the other, he took some of the ships.
Yeah,
I think he took.
Didn't he take all of them? Well, except for one.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I don't know which one he left, but at least one. Like, so one of them was like either Robert's hammer. Did he take Robert's hammer? Like, was that part of the, like, or was it just the new ships he had command? Because they had built a bunch of new ships. I don't know. He's got he's got some of the stuff. If he had Sweet Cersei, that'd be funny. If he came in riding on Sweet Cersei, to see Danny.
Man.
As a bastard of Dragonstone, I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of the first ones to take up Griff's cause.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That would help them out to get that fleet all of a sudden.
Hello, instant navy.
Is it you, Jordan? I kind of hear something in the background. Do you guys hear that? Or like a whistling sound?
Yeah, I hear it a little bit.
Yeah, I can hear it too.
Is that any better?
Yeah, it's definitely better.
Oh, good. Must have just been the crickets outside.
The what?
Crickets.
Okay.
By the way, Tita.
Wait, you don't have crickets in Canada?
That, Tom Brady has like a huge day because you're not doing so well, man.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I haven't been able to look at the scores. ESPN seems to be too busy today. But
I'm the only one here that's winning.
Oh, good God.
Let me see if...
I don't know. I think I have enough points to spare for you guys at the moment.
Maybe if Arrain Foster had started.
Yeah, maybe.
Anywho.
That was a good, late pickup, though.
Yeah, I picked him up last minute.
How the hell did this turn into like another guy's net out, basically?
Sorry, guys. Let's do CFL fantasy football. No.
Ashley disappeared.
Danny Books was supposed to come on, and maybe Danny Christina. Books. I think Christina's time zone is way off.
I've actually got to head out in a minute, too.
Well, the Fantasy Football League is associated with the podcast.
It's true.
Yeah, somebody... What do you mean? Somebody posted about it in one of the comments. Yeah. Is that what you mean? Or?
I don't play football. I just went to high school with Katy Perry. That was my only contribution to that.
Great Katy Perry's beat, Batman.
I still can't believe no one's changed their team name to that.
What do you guys think of, because they were talking about this, a winter is coming, about how the Tullys might be cut out, I don't know, just season two or in general, or it seems like at least season two, they might not be there.
Oh, boy, what do we need Tullys for?
Or unless they cast somebody since then, but I don't seem to have, especially the Blackfish is not in there.
He hasn't been cast at all, huh?
I don't think he has. I'm taking a look again.
Well, if he's the ghost in Winterfell, they're going to have to cast him. But I
guess they could cut out a lot if they wanted to.
They're showing. I'm looking at all the families. There's like no House Tully on the site.
Most of the stuff that happens with them is in the Storm of Swords.
Yeah, but I guess you could speed things up and introduce them quickly. But things have more meaning if a character's been around longer. You know, like in the second season, and then it develops in the third, rather than just popping up.
That's true.
When they were the Lannisters were fighting them and all the stuff in the first one, they're not even seen. So,
yeah,
and you certainly don't need to introduce Hoster because all he does is
be
sick and die.
Die.
we'll miss that great. We'll miss that great funeral scene where Edmure can't shoot an arrow.
Fire in blanks.
Yeah, he is. Can't shoot him straight.
That's why, and he hates singers. Apparently, you remember that,
Edmure?
Yeah, it's funny.
No.
If he was alive now, he'd probably hate actors. Probably that's equivalent to him.
Oh. Like Ashley, too. Hating on actors.
Are we saying Ashley too is a Tully?
It's Hoster. Hostile. Oh man. Okay. Ashley's back. Yeah.
Hey. Bring her in.
Hello.
Yay. Ashley's back.
Ashley's back. Huzzah.
We needed a chick. Yeah, it was devolving into who could beat who in a fight.
Yeah. So. Oh, we had the Hound versus Barristan. Should we even ask who you think?
Oh, truth. Hound, obviously.
Yeah. No.
Maybe if it was Barristan in his prime, there'd be a competition.
Oh, yeah. If he was in his prime, I'd definitely have to say Barristan. But we're talking about basically let's say start of Game of Thrones, where everyone is alive and in decent shape. Like they haven't lost their arms or whatever. That that era.
Yeah, definitely the Hound.
Yeah. Yeah. See, Barristan is honorable, so like a couple of like the Hound's fan club could like get in the way or something and he'd like put down his sword and then the Hound would just chop his head off.
Hound would be pissed then. He'd be like, no, I could handle this on my own.
Have Hound fans streaking across the field, the tourney field.
He could beat the Barristan with his left hand while he was like groping his fan club with his right.
Groping his fan club. Oh, screaming, he's just misunderstood.
Hey, it's true.
Ashley, were you, how disappointed were you that the Hound didn't show up once?
I was just kind of like, I didn't think he would. I was just,
hey, you know. He was mentioned.
Yes, he was.
He was holding Sansa captive.
Ashley took a part. She reread that page like 10 times.
I did. And then I posted about it in my blog.
But that's so obviously a lie.
The Hound. No, I didn't think he would. I was just kind of like, well, maybe he could, but that didn't happen.
It could happen.
But now that Gregor's still around, the Hound has a reason to come back.
But Gregor is going to be redeemed now, like as a undead. Bullshit. You're going to see his suffering in his head about like what he's done and everything.
He doesn't even have a head.
Guys, is that really his head down in Dorne?
No.
Question.
Oh, I don't think it's conclusive. Like you can't say for sure it's not his head, but he could not have a head.
What do you think?
See why not?
Yeah, like if Qyburn is
they just
really
carved a jack-o'-lantern.
Robert, super creative name Strong, is potentially headless. So.
Why Robert
keep your helmet on, you'll never see.
Yeah. He has sworn a holy vow of silence. Yeah. So, that was just so funny.
That's not conspicuous at all.
It's going to be like those bad 50s sci-fi movies. His helmet's going to get knocked off in the next book, and it's going to be like a brain attached to a bunch of wires. That go
he has like a red scarf around his neck, and if you untie his helmet, his head will fall.
You know what would be awesome if... if he still had a head, but the reason he can't speak is because Qyburn sewed his mouth shut because of all the screaming.
I remember.
Isn't that sick? Like that's what Qyburn would do. Because didn't Cersei tell him shut him up? I don't care what you do, just make him quiet, make him stop. Yeah. Or didn't somebody say that? Like probably
Tommen might have
said that.
Yeah.
So I can just picture Qyburn not chopping off his head, but sewing his mouth shut. So the dude's in eternal agony now and can't scream or anything. Oh God. Huh. Yeah, there you go. That's Qyburn. That's Qyburn.
Kyle the twisted minded.
Qyburn is definitely he's. I mean, it's another thing. He was being around for such a long time, so it's not like he came out of nowhere. He was with Jaime early on, and like he treated Jaime and all that stuff. So
true. That's because he wanted to get. That's because he needed a friend.
Yeah,
you know, to get him back in power, back him in the back
like,
in a position.
The guy
of doing
who got
things.
Like kicked out of the Maester Club. All this stuff, because he was scaring them.
For necromancing.
Yeah.
God, Sauron would totally have him in his team.
Well, he just seems like amoral in a sense. Like, he's not like getting pleasure from killing these women or something. He just does it because it's part of his study.
He's the mad scientist.
Yeah.
He's totally Victor Frankenstein. The whole Franken-Gregor nomenclature totally fits.
Yeah.
Oh man, he's totally like she puts the lotion in the basket craziest. he's tucking it. Qyburn is tucking it down in those black cells.
He even gives Cersei the creeps when he's an interesting character to read about. Like and the fact
you think he's got the hots for Cersei, I totally do.
Whoa!
I really like This is sort of weird, but like, I'd like to see like a super crazy Cersei getting tortured by Qyburn scene.
Oh God!
Or just because like that would be the thing that like completely broke her.
I think you're you were going to say like an aching loin scene.
Yeah, that'd be more likely.
Oh, it's a classic nerd guy, you know, sorority girl, blonde sorority girl thing.
Those
and the nerd guy gets an undershirt and pledges him to defend sorority girl. So
God, I don't know what just happened, but I'm sure it was amazing.
More like nerd guy, sorority girl with like a bondage fetish or something.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
I think it'd be great to see.
Didn't you say like when
poor things from the Dreadfort?
Well, it would be like that line from 300. This will not end quickly. You will not enjoy this.
That when Sir Robert Strong picked up Cersei, you got some sort of feeling there or something.
Yeah, I'd just be shipping everywhere.
I was really hoping Cersei was going to get mobbed and killed. Like, when she lost sight of the hill, I was sure that was what was going to happen, was, like, some crazy shit was going to break out, and they were just going to kill her right there.
You guys
I was shocked they allowed that, because I thought that, you know, it's stupid, stupid idea to do, because it was just tempting the mob.
But they all got to see her saggy titties. The legend is over.
Do you think it's her saggy titties that's keeping the peace? It's fear and blood. So all they need is Sir Robert Strong. You have him. Like, you don't need anything. Like, just send him to kill whatever.
Oh man, do you guys think the name Robert Strong has any particular meaning, or is it just something Qyburn pulled out of his ass?
Qyburn's got a sense of humor.
Yeah. So.
Or,
just teasing her with
he has, as I said, it could be anybody's head on there, right? Because he's just, could be Robert's head. It could be Ned's head. It could be Aubrey. Like, it could be whatever.
Crazy.
Robert's head, Gregor's body.
Robert's cock.
Speaking of Ned's head, I just saw the Clash of Kings picture where it's like some assembly needed with all the bones. That was great.
Ned's bones are going to be dog chew choice. Unfortunately. Although, no, they're safe. Yeah. They're just chilling. Ned's bones are chilling at Greywater Watch with everybody else.
God, I really
somebody's
got
to go to
really
Greywater
know
Watch.
What's going on there.
God, Howland Reed is still the key. Bring him out.
Yeah. I was sure we were going to see, like, at least a glimpse of Howland in this book, and we didn't. Yeah. I was like, all right, like, someone's going to be, like, at least going there by the end of this book, and that's not even happening.
Hmm. Yeah, that's not. We still don't know what's happened with that letter that, the Robert one with the
Alan Reed's just making a stockpile.
Naming
all the
John
crazy
the
there? Yeah, I think that,
yeah,
that is
like what
made
happened
it to Greywater with some of the people there. So they're just all sitting in Greywater.
Yeah,
it's like Avalon or something. It's just
that's where John's gonna go when he becomes reanimated. Him and 1-1 and Melisandre and Leathers are gonna walk down to Greywater Watch.
They're just waiting for Howland, basically. That's what it is.
Well, if he's dead and then comes back to life, does that mean he's no longer a black brother and can take up?
Yes, I feel George has to kill him to get him away from the wall. I feel like that's the only way you can get the character Jon Snow away from the wall into other storylines or into more important storylines is to kill him.
To destroy the wall. One or the other.
What's that?
Or the wall gets destroyed.
Well, I think once he leaves the wall, once he's dead, everybody thinks he's dead, he's able to get away from the wall. Yeah. And the civil war that ensues between brother, and wildlings at the wall, I feel like the others are just going to have free reign to just come in and take down the wall. And
yeah, I don't see how shit doesn't go down at the wall. Like I don't see how the wildlings don't go just like, screw you guys and kill them all after that. Like,
they're going to be so distracted fighting amongst themselves because there's no way Beau and Marsh is going to be like, okay, wildlings, like you guys.
The first paragraph of the next book, Tormund's Thunderfist is going to like punch Beau and Marsh.
He's going to be the prologue chapter.
Yeah. He's going to get his head smashed in by Thunderfist. So.
Oh, man. I hope the first Jon Snow chapter in the next book, or like Melisandre chapter or whatever point of view you need to do, is Jon's funeral. I think
that may very well be in there. Yeah,
and I think that'd be a great first chapter. And then at the very
end, him in the ice cells, like bury him in the ice cells, and then he might not come back right away. Like,
they might send his bones to Winterfell, or no? Well, it's under Roose Bolton. Never mind.
Yeah, But
that's one of those other guys that needs to die soon.
Even if it wasn't, though, would they take him? I mean...
Yeah, he's dead.
Like, if like, say, Manderly and Stannis held control, do you think they would... I guess Stannis might.
Stannis might, yeah. Especially once the letter shows
Stannis
up saying
like,
that
some
he's
respect
a star.
For him.
Oh, yeah. Like, what do you mean? Like, if he was alive, they'd take him?
Well, if they're sending the body.
Oh, for sure. They wanted him alive. They wanted him to break his vows anyways, or to like, swear to... their god. So.
No, but it's like if his body's taken away from the wall, then when he's reanimated, then it'll be kind of cooler.
Mm. Poor John Satin is the
ghost
and
in Winterfell.
Sam.
They're gonna bring John's body and ghost to the Winterfell crypts, and then
oh,
he's
god.
Ghost in Winterfell.
His body's that's not gonna survive thing. The trip. It's gonna get all rotten and stuff.
Yeah, right. It's so frozen up there.
You gotta keep
it's
it in
be
ice.
Nice. It's gonna be nice and crispy.
Nice, yeah.
Right,
poor Satin
the barber,
Sam, right?
John's
you can't just
boyfriend.
Leave meat out there like in the open, and it's gonna like go bad. You gotta keep it in ice until you're ready to barbecue or get it fresh, ideally, right?
Until Jordan's ready to throw it on his barbecue over here with some nice Skago sauce.
Melisandre throws it on her barbecue. Yeah, Melisandre is just a barbecue fanatic. That's all.
No, right? He'll never make it to Winterfell. Right. No, he'll never make it to Winterfell. He'll be given the kiss of life by Melisandre before.
She'll blow his horn and then. We were talking about horns earlier, so
yeah.
Oh, someone is online.
Cool, she kind of wants to.
Yeah.
She's gonna get some snow all over her mouth.
Her bed has been empty since Stannis left, so
that's the snow she saw in the fires.
But
what's up with the girl?
The Targaryen seed burns, though. That's the thing.
What's up with the girl riding in on the pale horse or the half dead horse or whatever? Is that really Arya? Is it Jaime? What's going on? What do you guys think?
That was the Karstark girl.
Did she arrive on the horse? I don't remember. I don't remember her coming in. So I just remember them saying, "Hey, a girl's here."
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Alice came in on her horse.
Because I know absolutely nothing.
Shocking lack of knowledge on the podcast. What a surprise!
I know, guys. Don't read the forum. I've screwed it up completely. No. I don't know. I didn't think it was her. I thought it was still to be, that prophecy was still to come to fruition.
I thought that was
very
it.
Well have been her, but I just didn't get that feeling. Felt like it was something else.
Hey, we got somebody else here.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's good. Ooh. It's good. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but you're right. That prophecy is bullshit.
Is this Maester Kevin?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Hey, another person losing in the fantasy league.
Oh, terribly.
So, Kyle, I think I have an answer to your question of whether or not Robert Strong means anything. I think.
All right, shoot, man. I'd like to hear it.
It's a reference to John Aaron's last words.
Oh, the seed is strong.
Well, now that you're here, Mason, Kevin, we need to get everyone who comes back. We're asking if the Hound was fighting Barristan, who would win? We want to see.
Barristan now or Barristan in his prime?
Barristan now.
Like
start of Game of Thrones, yeah.
Wait a minute, the Hound now, who's like nearly dead?
No, start of Game of Thrones, where everyone is fully functional at that point. Start of.
I'll give it to the Hound. He'll fight dirty.
Yeah.
That's kind of been.
Yeah,
the consensus.
That's kind of the consensus.
Oh, Barristan.
Yeah. He's old.
I want to throw my coin at Barristan's corner.
Oh, God, I just got this mental image of the handful of bad girls fighting Barristan with Kyle.
That's going to be the next comic. Somebody draw a picture of the Hound fighting.
So Kyle has to be in a dress.
Yeah, Jen Rose is going to draw that. Jen Rose?
No, my lady.
Yeah.
No, Barristan. He's too scarred.
That's the next girl that you're going to draw. And then we'll make a poster and sell it. We don't make any profit on that stuff. It's just covered.
No one wants to see Kyle in a dress.
Saturday.
I think we all do.
Oh God! Don't get this rumor started.
The other question, Maester Kevin, is people were wondering whether Ned was good in bed. So.
Oh.
This is something basically.
I don't know. I mean, I think we'd all just love to find out, basically.
Hey, no, I think Ned. He was the Ned. He was good
at
that.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah. So.
I think, yeah, Caitlin seemed to like it. I think probably Ashara taught him some tricks.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Oh, before after Brandon.
So.
Durink.
or threesome? Is that what happened? Brandon had an Eiffel Tower.
Keeping the incest theme going. This is a very hallmark thing of George's work, so.
Incest is best. If you can't keep it in your pants, keep it in the family.
One theory that came out of nowhere, but people were talking about why Benjen went to the wall, and some people said, well, maybe Benjen went with Ishara, which is kind of ridiculous. But maybe Benjen was gay.
He also had a crush on Rhaegar.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So.
Absolutely nothing to back that one up.
No evidence, yeah. But
I don't know. I think the popular thing to say.
Waste for him to go to the wall because they didn't have that many Starks. You can see there's like no Starks. It's kind of people saying, why the hell they put. Even though he was the third son. Look at the south. There's thousands of Lannisters, thousands of whatever, but we have like no Starks here. The next person in line is in the Vale. So it's kind of a waste to put even the third son there. You could have married him off to whoever. You could have married him off to Lady Dustin. Everybody wanted a Stark. Why the hell did he go to the wall?
But at the same time, the Starks are like the only house that realized the importance of the Watch. Hmm. So, I mean, I feel like they're the ones that see that as an honorable thing.
Well, that's why it was an honorable option, but it was like, why do you have to take that option? Like, why is that even like, it definitely was a good avenue to go, but you think they could have just, like, you know, they had Lady Dustin, they could have passed it on Lady Dustin to him. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, so.
Huh.
He was gay, but yeah, we don't have any evidence for that. The theory started here, it all starts here, so.
All right. Everybody's gay. It's a fabulous story.
Second only to the Theon bed slave theory. Everyone is gay theory.
Benjen was secretly trying to get the Night's Watch to wear rainbow instead of black.
Oh.
Hey, he would fit into the trend of badass gays in the books. So.
True. Also true. We got another one with John Connington.
Yeah. Blackfish.
John Connington is a badass gay man. Holy crap, that dude's awesome. And the fact that, you know, he's helping to put his lover, not lover, but the man he loves son, or who he thinks is his son, on the throne, that's just so awesome. That's such a good story.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, Connington's
like
awesome.
Gonna die.
And he's got his arm, he's infected, his hand.
Because he saved a dwarf.
Well, he just...
Let's just see how HBO feminizes him.
Yeah.
Oh, God, if he has, like, young Griff shaving him on the boat, I'm going to be so pissed.
In the flashback scene where Rhaegar is admiring his lands, it's going to be a different kind of admiring.
His huge tracts of land.
She said admiring his lands. His lands. It's the dragon's lands. Yeah.
Oh, lordy.
Who's a guy got a blow to cure grayscale around here?
Macario guy. No, all he needs is a red priest to just burn his hand, and he'll be fine. Like he's.
Yeah, which hand is it that has the grayscale? Because it could really hurt his social life, I guess.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he's all about the stranger.
speaking of grayscale, so now that like Shireen's strand of the grayscale or whatnot seems to be dormant at the moment,
yeah.
But now John Connington has landed in Westeros with a live, active strand of grayscale.
Mm.
Is there going to be an epidemic? Like, do you think George is going to do that at all? Or do you think he's going to keep covered up enough that he won't have to worry about introducing grayscale?
Grayscale is the kind of thing that is avoidable. It'd be more like a leprosy thing.
Yeah, it's not airborne, really. Hopefully,
yeah,
it could be, but seems like direct contact is the
But it spreads so wild.
Direct contact.
Yeah, but he's blood of the dragon.
Right.
Oh, true.
You could probably hear my eye roll when I said right.
That's just going to be another theory in that column. I mean,
everyone's a Targaryen. Everyone's gay.
I mean, there's a lot more evidence for him being not that I completely buy it, but there's an argument that is worth looking at if he's a Targaryen or not.
Yes.
Well, there was that.
No. I'd buy it. I just hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was that attempt by Barristan to talk about. Aegon or whatever.
Aerys
taking whatever his rights on Joanna or whatever. But of course, in any situation where he's about to give like useful backstory, he's cut off by Dany.
Yeah. Or anything.
It's like, where's Dario?
Hey, Dario's coming in. Shut up.
Barristan, this is boring. Where's Dario and his naked ladies?
Wasn't it because Dario showed up both times that.
Really?
Because in the first time they were in the tent and she was like waiting for everyone to show up and Dario shows up and like offers her the heads. So hasn't Dario fucked it up two times?
That's what frustrates me as well with the new book is because at the end of the last one, she said that she wanted to start hearing everything from Barristan and then apparently not.
And then you hear something that is a little bit offensive. It's like, no, I don't want to hear that.
Young girls have a good night of sex, and then their mind just wanders. Come on.
I think it's my main beef with this is Dario is a dumbass and a douchebag. Like, if he actually was hooking up with somebody interesting to read about, it'd be one thing. But
see, I don't think I like Dario personally. Yeah. I don't think he's a dumbass or a douchebag or whatnot. I think he's just being himself, and Danny's all in it. And
yeah, he's a dumbass and a douchebag by nature. Like.
No way. He's so loyal, and you know he does.
He seems to be pretty loyal, though. I mean,
he speaks his mind.
He's got everything he wants, right? He's freaking banging like the Queen of Dragons or what, a Mother of Dragons. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean,
Danny did the traditional thing that you do when you're a teenage girl, and that's go with the dark, interesting guy instead of like the faithful, nice guy. And
she's in the bad
her heart's going to get broken, and she's going to learn her lesson.
The way he's described, like we were talking about, he probably won't be ported that way in HBO. He'll be changed a little bit. So he will actually have like the Legion of Fans in HBO.
Right. I think the problems I have with Dario, which I hate him, but it's mainly because you only see him from Danny's point of view, where it's just kind of a teenage girl idol type thing, which doesn't appeal to me. You know, seeing him from somebody else's point of view, he might be kind of awesome.
I'd like to see him in battle. I think we'd have a new respect for him if we saw him in a
good
fight.
Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've only actually like heard about him like winning fights. We've never actually seen it.
I'd just be bullshitting about everything.
He needs to rip a few tongues out through the throat first.
Sorry?
He needs to rip a few tongues out through the throat first.
And feed it to some goats.
Jesus. Goats. Oh,
so do you think, who do you think is the harpy? Is it the Green Grace? Some people think.
I don't know. I haven't thought about this question yet.
If there's a harpy.
Yeah, I just thought it was a group. You know.
That seems to be the big theory in Westeros, at least one of them, that his daughter wasn't directly the harpy. It's just like he offered to marry her, and then the harpy Greengrace would be happy about that and would stop the stuff, right? But
yeah. Well, I never got the feeling that his daughter was a harpy. They kidnapped his kids or something, right? What was it? They kidnapped someone or a couple people that he cared for. And
well, whoever was the harpy thought it was beneficial that for his daughter to marry Danny. Doesn't mean that his daughter himself was the harpy. They just thought, okay, that's a good move.
I never assumed that the harpy was actually a person. I figured it was just a symbolic name. You know, Sons of the Harpy, Sons of Liberty, you know, that kind of thing.
That's an interesting term for it. Yeah.
it's your standard insurgency.
Yeah.
Which kind of irritated me just a little bit, just because I did spend 10 years in the military, and I've been over there a couple of times, and it was like, okay, so now we're going from a fantasy novel to a political novel.
Yeah.
But it didn't go that way. There was a very, when he first started introducing it, it could have gone definitely the wrong way, but he didn't pull himself into the politics of the real world.
The preview chapter when I read it, way back when, that was the one chapter I read, like a spoiler chapter, at the end of Feast for Crows. It sort of seemed that he was going to do some sort of Iraq, parallel. But he did change things, and things like it wasn't clearly political. It's almost like all the fans want Danny out of there more than George wants her.
She had so much momentum for so long, and now she's just like sitting there. It's like, really? Like, get on the boat and go.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of effort needed.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what we've all come to like about George, is that he doesn't just say, well, I want this to happen, so I'm going to force it. He just kind of, he has people living out real lives. And that doesn't always go in the direction that we want it to. And it'll take him a few extra chapters or an extra book to get her to that point in a believable way. So to the point where we want her to be.
Right. I think
love-hate relationship.
The easy thing, the stereotypical thing, is she goes in, she frees all the slaves, everybody lives happily. But he goes a more realistic route, now the city's a mess, what do we do about it?
Exactly. And us as the fantasy readers, are like, oh, boring.
Well, I think I just want to see her figure out a way to solve it. Or Tyrion to come in and fix it for her or something.
Yeah.
Definitely went on too long, I think, is the big problem.
Yeah.
So what exactly was the Marinese knot that George is having such problems with?
He couldn't tell the story of what was going on in Meereen from the right perspective, because he had too many characters there. He couldn't decide what to do. So he would run into a situation where he'd be like, okay, I want to do this scene from Tyrion's perspective. Well, it doesn't really work there. So I'm going to try and, like, do it from this perspective. And I think he ended up adding Barristan so that he could have scenes from Barristan's perspective because it would still work.
Okay. Makes sense.
Basically, in general, just the whole Marine thing, like what we're talking about. It took him forever to write, and it's still is troubling in some way, but at least he's made some progress on it in the sense that... Yeah,
which makes it all the more funny that Victarion is still on his way there.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
People are still converging there.
Yeah, but they're a lot closer than they were before.
He's right there.
They're right outside, which means like in a couple of days they could be there. Like,
yeah,
it's not
and
like
then
months.
Then the book ended.
Yeah, but that's where I kind of blame. Maybe I'm blaming the editors unfairly. Maybe it is George's decision, but I feel like they cut out parts because the book was too long. Maybe another chapter or two, and then they just push it to the next book.
Is it true that he originally had another John chapter that got pushed away, or?
I don't know if it was a John chapter. I know there were chapters that were cut. So
yeah.
Well, Sansa's chapter's removed.
I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel I don't love that. I feel like her and Rhaenyra should be next to each other.
Sorry?
I agree, Ashley.
We had a bit of a...
No, I'm being serious. Okay. I'm being serious.
I feel... You know, I think we're all, and even Ashley, like we did like the book on some fronts, but you know, and people say that we are being too nice on the books. But the one thing that's unsettling when I look at George's blog, he seems to be like reveling in like 5 out of 5 reviews and the New York Times and stuff, and so like he's looking at reviews that are far more praiseworthy than ours that we were going over the problems in there as well, and so he may not be thinking like this is great. The next book I'm just going to do this the exact same thing in the
well,
next
I think
book.
It's, I don't,
yeah, he needs some constructive criticism.
Pointed out quite a bit that the professional reviewers are quite.
You're cutting out here.
Different from the fans, like I think that's been pointed out that by quite a few. It's strange how the fans are quite different than the professional reviewers on this.
Well, so I feel like the fans are adding in the weight. They're reviewing the weight and the book.
Yeah, that's true.
Where the reviewers are just reviewing
the
book.
They just picked up the book a couple of days ago. Like, they probably just got in the series. And that has an effect, right?
And I feel like that's...
Sorry? Can't hear.
A lot of the fans might have a narrower scope. Like, this isn't most of George's other books in the series.
Yeah.
Whereas in the scope of, you know, fantasy in general, it's still a lot better than tons of it.
Yeah.
I was
a little surprised
that
I pretty much agreed with you guys from the Dance with Dragons episode, the latest episode, that we were on a similar, you know, rating scale. When I'd only finished Feast for Crows like a month before, I figured those scores were going to be lower from you guys having, you know, waited so much longer than me.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't think George is worried about not getting criticism or not hearing criticism. I think he hears it very loudly.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a problem.
He's gotten good at ignoring.
You know, the years of telling people to shut up, it'll be done when it's done.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, he deserves his time in the spotlight too, right? I mean,
yeah.
So. Yeah, sure. I mean, as long as it doesn't like ruin his writing, which I don't expect, but
no, there. As I said, there's aspects of this book that were as good as any other book. It's just overall there are problems as well. But he hasn't lost it.
Yeah, like if the Theon chapters weren't there, I'd be worried. But seeing the Theon chapters makes me know like he still got it right. Yeah. Like those chapters were awesome.
Yeah.
I do wish Theon had died at the very end of the book, though.
Shut your face! get this guy off the fucking podcast right now. Out, gone. I don't know who said that. You're done.
No, because it would be perfect. It would be a perfect ending to the book.
Yeah.
Because here's what you could do. You could have like the fight that everyone's sort of still ambiguous about with Stannis. You could have just part of it from Theon's perspective. It could still be sort of inconclusive because you don't really know because it's just Theon's perspective. But he could like die in the fight, and that could be it. Could be like his book. Because I don't see how you like have a follow up to this book for Theon. I don't see how you have like a next step.
I think Theon had the most badass line in the book when he was just like, "You have to remember your name."
That was good. That was good.
My favorite Theon line from the book is that he remembered who his sister was, but his sister didn't recognize him. That was my favorite part.
Yeah,
that was cool.
So they turned their original meeting that we saw on its head when he didn't recognize her.
Yeah. are they going to ugly up Alfie Allen for this? They're going to.
I don't see how you get away from doing that.
I was trying to think of how to say that in a nice way.
No comment.
But they're definitely the show is definitely putting Theon maybe even in more of a spotlight than in the books. especially in the second season. They're gonna have the betrayal like before, because just the, especially when the King of the North thing, and he's like, "I'm your brother" to the end, and blah blah blah. Like they're gonna really be having a lot of Theon in the show. So this book, if they make it that far, is also gonna benefit from that.
Dude, just the way they've been pumping the Greyjoys. I mean, the sigils and everything. I mean, the Greyjoy has been part of the promotions for the show from the very beginning, and they don't do anything in the first season. You don't even know who, like, I bet if you asked all viewers who haven't read the books, 9 out of 10 of them wouldn't even know Theon's last name.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they realize that he's a great house.
Yeah.
Like, I think they just, you know, like, he's a high like lord, but not son or something.
Yeah.
Half the people I were talking to about the show kept confusing Rob and Theon anyway, so knowing one of, you know, his last
name... Is Ned's other bastard son.
Right. The one whose sigil is the golden uterus.
Yeah. Ned has bastards. It's John and Theon. That's why Caitlin is pissed at both.
I think they pumped up the Greyjoys to sort of, like, diminish the shock of them having a very central role next season.
Yeah.
So it's not just sort of like, oh, and now we have a Theon chapter where he's doing all this stuff. It's like, no, it's just sort of like a natural thing. Well, like you'd expect him to be doing things.
Well, I find that, I mean, I like what the actor's been doing. I think he's hitting the role pretty well, and they're taking advantage of that, right?
Absolutely.
Potential there.
He's doing a good job.
Certainly. Yeah, I have no complaints think it'll, about him.
Yeah, oh, there we go. He's not hound-like enough.
I'm just wondering.
I have complaints about the hair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I was wondering, actually just the other day, with the way, with the criticism that the show has gotten, and we know that the Greyjoys coming up have a very large role, I'm a little worried that the Dothraki were obviously supposed to be Mongolian. They weren't very Mongolian. Are they going to turn the Greyjoys into a bunch of blonde, bearded, horned helmet-wearing, you know, mead-swilling Vikings just so that the people can get the obvious... anecdote, or do you think they're going to try and keep it as loyal as possible the way it is in the book?
I hope they talk like Thor, too.
I think they're going to Viking them up. Yeah, I do.
I'm just waiting for them to introduce Yarr.
Well, they're going to say Nuncle all the time.
Yeah, what were your doubts about Theon, you said, Ashley?
I said I like Theon.
Oh, okay.
Casting and everything.
Cool.
Oh, man.
Theon. I was surprised they didn't get the Creative Arts Emmy for casting. I thought they deserved it.
Ooh. They only won one Emmy, right, for the title sequence?
Yeah.
Was that
for
it?
The Creative Arts Emmys.
Hmm. Oh, Creative Art. Okay.
Yeah,
the
actual Emmys aren't for, like, another couple weeks.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, I was a little confused when I saw that this morning. I was like, oh, they didn't win any Emmys. Poor Dinklage and, you know, whatever. But I didn't realize it was a separate Emmy award ceremony.
Yeah. This one is like the visual effects and the stunts and the costumes and stuff like that.
Okay. Shocking lack of actor knowledge.
Yeah, actually, Kyle. I expect you to know this stuff.
I've been failing left and right, man.
Oh, God. You mean done, all of Hollywood done. Doesn't get together and tweet everything to everybody else?
They do. I just haven't joined the party yet.
Oh.
Welcome to the party, pal. Shit, man.
Okay.
Theon. I'm glad Theon didn't die.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I can't wait. I still want him to become a major player. I'm still holding my guess. I'm still, you know, I made that guess in our predictions episode, and I'm still holding true to that one. You know, when he gets the Iron Islands back and Victarion comes over with...
He's not fully a man anymore, that's the thing. But, I mean, Asha's not one either, so I guess together they could be the heirs of the Iron Islands.
But he's such a... He's such a Martin... S character that you would lead that you would come across in these books now. Like say there was a book series that took place after this series, and the heroes of that story came across this creature, you know, with barely any hair, who was missing all his teeth and fingers and toes and whatnot. That's such a character that you would come across in a Martin universe. And so just for that reason alone, I feel like Theon is going to survive all this.
Are you saying it's Gollum or something?
No, that's Theon now. He's gonna have a ring on, and he's gonna live forever, and gonna eat fish.
No, I think like the highest he can rise to now with like his deformities, like he's not gonna be a high lord, but like master of whispers, like that's his goal.
This thing. See, I could picture him being some sort of like hand to Asha's queen of the Iron Islands.
Quasimodo.
Well, that was the whole thing was, I mean, because Theon was away. They can challenge Euron's claim, right? That was all mentioned in there.
Yeah, I think so.
they can use him, even though he's not the type of people that they would follow. But I mean, he's got Stannis' backing. He may have it. So
I don't think anyone is worried about dealing with Euron. I think the more interesting thing is how do they deal with Victarion?
Yeah,
because I think everyone here thinks that Euron is gonna get it by the end of these books. I mean, he's not a character that like makes it out alive, but you know, and like in charge of stuff. But I think the interesting thing is what's the dispute with Victarion?
I don't know. Like, I mean, Euron knew about the dragons before a lot of people, and he is a mysterious guy, and we don't. I don't even know if he's where he says he is. As we were talking about earlier, he may very well be following Victarion. Maybe who knows what he's doing? But
yeah,
that's true.
That douche.
Kind of a wild card.
Yeah.
That's what his plans are at all.
Yeah, he's still too cocky to make any conclusions about.
Yeah.
But then there's also the prophecy thing that kind of Danny had, the corpse.
Yeah.
So there's the theory that he's not even going to come back alive.
What was the theory? Do you remember it?
Well, it was one of Danny's loves, I think. She saw the vision of a corpse on a ship with the gray lips smiling.
I don't know. I just feel like he is going to pop up just because of what Makoro saw in the flames.
Yeah.
Just the one-eyed Kraken or whatever. It was so prominent in the fire. And it was such a, like,
yeah.
You know, that ended a chapter, I think. And usually when Martin ends a chapter, it's on a big note. If I'm recalling it rightly, excuse me if I'm wrong, but him remembering a one-eyed, you know, sea monster with many arms or whatever, and the darkness or whatever.
Quote, yeah, let's see. Find that.
I mean, that's a big thing. I feel like Euron is going to show up in some regard at some point, just because of that.
You think Martin is going to surprise us and it's going to be a literal Kraken?
That's the only thing we haven't seen. Seen direwolves and dragons, but no Krakens.
We can have a Kraken versus dragon versus Nymeria and her pack battle.
Nymeria and her pack would be at a severe disadvantage. Just a guess.
Y'all just can't wait to see Victarion beat the one-eyed monster.
Which hand does he do it with now? The flaming one or the other one? There you go.
The flaming one, that's how he gets the gray lips.
What?
Burn.
I
don't
want to think about that. Amin is deep inside dance right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that.
It's in a Tyrion chapter, I believe. Yeah. So I think what's his name? Greyjoy for a second there, Theon. Isn't that the worst possible place he could be is in Stannis' camp? Because Stannis is the one person who's going to, you know, I don't care what you've got planned. I need to get, you know, we need justice for all the bad things.
Well, he's already been punished quite a bit. If punished more than Stannis probably would have punished him, unless he was going to kill him.
You think Stannis is going to go up and be like, oh, it's okay. You've been punished enough.
He's got King's Blood.
I think if Theon actually told him the truth as to what happened, it wouldn't be quite as bad.
Yeah. That makes me angry. When everybody gives Theon, like, they're always like, oh, he did such horrible things. And I'm like, what did he do? You know, he was mean to a couple girls. Okay, you know, there are lots of assholes who've been banging girls in this book. And he took Winterfell. Lots of castles have been taken in this place, you know. It was Ramsay who burnt down Winterfell. It was Ramsay who hung, quote unquote, the Stark kids.
He
was all Ramsay.
Yeah, he's done bad things, but no worse than like people that other characters that they love, like Jaime or the Hound or whatever.
The problem with Theon is that he himself, well, at least in the earlier chapters, would not take blame for anything. Like he was delusional. He every time something went wrong that was his fault, he blamed someone else. It was more his character that drove me nuts. He had such a weak character.
Yeah. Yeah, and as Roose said, he drove the killer blow to the Starks when he took Winterfell. If he hadn't taken Winterfell, it would have been a huge difference. Like when Winterfell fell, that was the end of Robb and all this stuff. Like not there, it wasn't obvious, but that was
Winterfell.
If
he had taken Winterfell and Reek wasn't there,
no, it's still the Starks lost Winterfell and that screwed over Robb. That was like a huge blow to his prestige and made it more likely that people would betray him. So it made Bolton more likely to switch sides.
Yeah, but there's no doubt in my mind that Roger would have taken back.
That's true. He would have taken it back if it hadn't been for there. But I mean,
been able to take back
because
the
he put the stem in that circumstance that led to that. So,
absolutely. I just think he gets a harsh, harsh treatment by the reader, and the people in the book.
And I
are people Hello? Are people dropping like flies?
Yeah,
it's cutting in and out.
Yeah, it's getting, and I have to go anyways.
All right, so, wrap it up,
and it stops recording. Yeah, so let me, I guess, record the end of this one sec. Okay, well, thanks for dropping in, everyone. That was a pretty good turnout.
Hey, thanks for hosting the call. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll get this episode up before the next book comes out.
I hope you're not gonna end this episode on. Oh, cool.
Summer 2027.
No, that was a good episode. Thanks for coming in, guys. It was a lot of fun having some different voices on the podcast for once. And to talk about dance and get another episode out finally, right?
Yeah.
So does this officially end the hiatus?
Let's not get carried away now. We're still getting our shit together.
Yeah, we don't have like anybody around here that can talk on the Vice and Fire with. It's rough. You know, one of my friends just finished Feast for Crows, and I was, you know, chatting with him, and I mentioned Hot Pie, and he's like, "Oh God, I hated Hot Pie." I was like, "I can't talk to you anymore."
That was it. That was the birth of the podcast, as far as I know, between Mimi and Ashley. I mean, and Amin, that there was nobody to talk to it. Talk to about so
yeah.
That's what
I had thought I was actually going to go make a podcast because I had just got into podcasts, and then I met Mimi, who was also planning it, so we're like, okay, we'll do it together.
Yeah,
so. Your powers combined.
Yeah.
And I just had a failed attempt at a Harry Potter podcast, so I'm just like, I know all this podcast stuff, let me on.
Speaking of Mimi, we got to make her quit her new job because she needs to come back and be on the podcast.
Yeah, she's on the podcast, just couldn't make it this time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you go away for a long trip, you got a lot of stuff to catch up on when you get back.
Indeed, just like Danny.
Gotta see if she saw any Mungo balls.
Mungo balls. She did. She put pictures of fake Mungo balls on the forum.
Yeah.
Like white trailer trash Mungo balls.
Yeah, they looked like they had wheels. It was really weird.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like a double wide Mungo ball.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. They were on stilts. Wooden. They were
the
on
Mungo
wooden.
Ball that was a bathroom?
I think there was like a couch out in the front door.
Like a protein dumpster.
A legless yak on blocks sitting out in the front yard.
If your Mungo ball is on locks, you might be a Mongolian. That fits.
And stripped down 95 Camaro.
He's just throwing a couple of Mongo balls on the barbecue right now.
Yeah, an old Camaro with no wheels, cement blocks.
Oh man, Vari's knows about having his Mongo balls thrown on the fire.
Yeah. Oh, barbecues. Yeah.
All right, and on that note,
the name of the guy that
because we all think that. Well, I don't know if we all think, but it seems like Melisandre probably has like a glamour or whatever, right? She has a fake appearance as well.
No, no,
no.
Consider that. I believe
she just is too perfect to be like. And she looks just like she has like red hair and all that. Like that doesn't seem real.
Somebody in this
it just
world
seems very
has to be
convenient to be
Jessica
a fire
Rabbit.
Priest like that. Oh, so she's probably just like she's probably like old Nat, basically like.
She's old Nat. Imagine it, Melisandre is old Nat. That's a theory.
Old crone. With this glamour. And that's another reason why it sucks to be Sanis.
Oh, God. She lets it down. He gets all wrinkly.
That's why John has an uneasy feeling when she's, like, going for him. She's like, he's like, She's going to have a... She's going to be Cersei-ified. Like, she'll lose her glamour and they'll see the saggy tits.
Oh.
And that'll be her power.
Melisandre, perky for life.
So I feel like the one thing everybody agreed they wanted to see the series get to was the Red Wedding.
But now it's Cersei's walk, right? Lena Headey?
Oh, if you want to see that, isn't that in the other movie that she did?
Oh, God. It was like 300.
Oh, yeah. 300.
No, I, when I say Red Wedding, actually, what I really mean is End of the Storm of Swords. I wanted the trial and all of that as well.
Yes, I want the Viper. No.
Yeah, I want to see a Scorpion or Viper.
Yes, yeah, they stop at the Red Wedding. That's all the good stuff. I mean, like, the end of the book.
I want Dondarrion versus the Hound.
Yes.
Yes.
My favorite fight.
Yeah.
I want Arya kicking ass in that inn.
Oh, my God.
I want Brienne, like, wandering the Riverlands for 4 episodes. It was just me, but I really like Hoth, so.
Oh, man. I want. Listen, HBO, this is what we want. All right.
Brienne wandering the Riverlands, interspersed with Brienne wandering the frozen north.
Well, that'll be all compressed into, like, 1 minute clip.
Be like a Rocky montage.
It's just a montage of her looking under rocks for Santa.
Yeah, I wonder they'll do the Hound scene where the Hound is the gravedigger. Let's just have something like they'll. Yeah, they'll do that if they do that.
They'll just throw him in a hood with like they did with Jaqen.
That's exactly how they'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that scene too, and I was like, "Oh wait, oh cheaters! I put a hood on him."
It's gotta suck to be that extra. You get to be Jake, and it's like, yes, like, but only for one episode.
Well, it's the smart thing to do if they don't have him cast, right? It makes him mysterious as well, actually, so. Yeah. They should have just had Sirio's actor.
All right. Stan
is clapping somewhere.
All right, guys, I gotta get out. Oh. Yeah, there we go.
Keep talking if you want.
Yeah. See ya.
All right.